stuff.
Bingo. Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Good evening. Good morning. Well, wherever it is, whatever it is, wherever you are. And welcome to Erie House Radio. We got a packed house already. Fogs being in here. Angel, welcome. CW, of course, joining us. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with
oh, the one and only. It's me. It's CW. Thank you, and I'm happy to be back.
And our partner, Gar the Ghoul, also in the chat, getting
sitting
ready
in, yeah,
for
he's
his
in the
show
chat,
right
yeah.
after
yep.
ours. Yep. That'll be 8 o'clock after
so
we're done. We have another gem or jewel of a story tonight.
Yeah, I didn't really know how pearls were made, Dale. I mean, I knew it had something to do with an oyster. Well, I didn't realize it was some kind of irritant. It just keeps growing inside in the oyster.
Oh, I know. When I was a kid, I got a live oyster, and I kept walking by, you idiot. Your mother stinks.
Yeah.
Kept trying to irritate it, couldn't get a pearl.
That's why I can't figure out why my ex isn't worth a fortune right now, you know?
Ooh. Wow. Snap.
Never miss an opportunity for an ex-spouse joke.
That's right.
Oh, dear. Yes. And when you have that pebble in your shoe that's irritating you all the time, it's still just only a pebble in your shoe. It's not a wonderful, fabulous pearl of great price. It's just a pebble in your shoe.
Yep.
And
the difference between a natural pearl and
go ahead, Dave, you first.
No, I was just going to say the difference between natural pearl and a cultured pearl is that the cultured pearl is force-fed an irritant where the natural pearl it is, but the natural pearls are so rare. Almost all the pearls out there are cultured, which means they're feeding these oysters an irritant. Again, reminding me of my ex, but I digress. And back to you, Dave.
I think we're more of a natural pearl show tonight because I have no culture. I'm completely uncultured. As I'm sure all would agree. Angel reports in the chat she has sound. Great way to listen to radio. I've never had oyster. Have either of you eaten oyster?
No.
I've never had oyster.
Before I went the way of the vegetarian, I had oyster deep fried, which is so healthy for you, of course, but I also had them in the same fashion as you'd have them in New Orleans. You know, you steam them, crack them open, you put some lemon and some hot sauce on there and a bit of horseradish, and you just slide it on down. One of the reasons I'm a vegetarian.
Which has got to be disappointing to this oyster because he's the only, he thinks he's getting heated, you know, in a hot tub and getting, you know, a basted down and all this, and then next thing you know, he's in somebody's stomach. You know,
yeah, no,
don't make light of it. I feel guilty about that. I march for oyster freedom.
Take it to the streets.
You betcha. Oysters of the planet unite. Oyster power.
Yep. Hey, I wasn't trying to be a meanie, Angel, but I know you've been having a little sound issue with our show, so I'm glad you can hear us tonight. Getting a packed house here. I have never had oysters. I have had clams galore, but not oysters.
And
I've had people tell me to clam off,
I'm... You know, that clammy weird guy with the raincoat down the street, you know.
Ew,
but I digress.
The raincoat and that's all.
Yeah.
That's
and if I'm not mistaken, I think clams make pearls too. They're just not considered of any intrinsic value.
That's part of, looks like that's part of Fogsbane's Thanksgiving feast is oysters. Wow.
Oh yeah, oyster stuffing is quite the popular thing with the turkey. Turkey's
now,
the world rebel.
Now, are oysters served like somewhat raw? Is that, do I understand that to be correct?
I think so.
You can serve them raw, but I have never had them 100% raw. I've always had them steamed in some fashion. But yeah, they're considered something of an aphrodisiac. So much for that.
Yeah, no.
But no, I've never had them. Oyster tartare is something happily can say I've not had. I've had the oysters fried and I've had them steamed, but never raw. Yucko.
I've been dragged by a car once and had tar, but never had tartare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, no, I've never had oysters Rockefeller either. Quite the shishi bougie dish, named after the one and only rich slob robber baron Rockefeller himself.
It actually was up in Cleveland here, along the Millionaires Row.
Oh, there's a.
He's the one that polluted the Cuyahoga River so badly that it caught on fire several times.
Yep.
Oh, I guess he was cold that night and said, "Hey, let's just set the river on fire. I'm cold."
We were a national disgrace at one point because our river caught on fire so many times.
Yep. Get out the hot dogs, Martha. The river's on fire again.
There again.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh jeez. Oh, and you have the three-eyed fish there, Blinky from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Well, we probably have a few of those because I believe we have a power plant not too far away.
Yep. David Spessy. Yep.
Adding in. Oh, you're adding insult to injury. All right.
Yeah.
Remember, that's how Godzilla got started.
Well, that's how people like me never get sick. We've got a toxic river that's eerie.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I have a protective layer of carcinogens.
Yeah.
So I don't have tartar, but I get a lot of tar from my cigarette here. And they make me feel so... good. Got a lot of radio.
We got a lot of radio.
Got a lot of radio.
Yay.
And Deadly Pearls is our story tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
It is. And it's got the regular suspects tonight, including Paul Hecht, I think, who stars in this one.
Hecht.
Oh, Hecht, H-E-C-T.
Heck yeah.
H-E-C-T.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Hecht, yeah.
Hecht, yeah.
H-E-C-T. Hecht. Hecht.
Well, what the heck? Let's get on to it.
All right, here's part one. It is episode number?
Episode 194 from... January 1st, the first anniversary of the Mystery Theater, January 1st of 1975.
Again this year, we say it with music. Greetings from the CBS Radio Network and some people you know. The Charleses, Collingwood, Carroll, and Osgood. Mariah McLaughlin, Phil Jones, Sharon Lovejoy, Fred Graham, Ann Crossman, and Leslie Stahl.
Thank you.
good wish for the holidays and the new year from the CBS Radio Network.
Stay tuned now for CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Most people look upon their own everyday lives as being routine, without much excitement. But that shouldn't stop anyone from having an active imagination. This is why we make our escape from the humdrum with stories of adventure, mystery, and murder. Another mental activity most people enjoy is fitting together the pieces of a puzzle. The stranger the shapes, the more challenging that puzzle becomes. Our present puzzle concerns a young man who is called upon to use all his wits in figuring out the whereabouts of a string of deadly pearls.
Now, it's absolutely essential, Keith, that you understand the importance of this assignment.
I believe I do, sir.
If those pearls aren't recovered, and recovered soon, it's an established fact that someone else will die.
I understand.
And no matter what happens, no one on that island must have any idea who you really are or what you're doing there.
Check.
You better be a good actor.
I think I can manage that. What do I have to lose?
You could lose your life.
Our mystery drama, The Deadly Pearls, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elizabeth Pennell and stars Paul Hecht and Kate Reed. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Time Pills.
Give your cold to Contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. A year ago, I asked you to lend me your ears and your imagination to enjoy the unique experience of radio mystery and suspense. Your response far exceeded my most confident hopes. Listening to a radio play demands your participation. You set the scene, you visualize the people, and thus, for me, Radio Mystery Theater then becomes a personal relationship with you. Next Monday, January 6th, we mark our first anniversary and the start of another year. To celebrate, we're bringing you a week of tales by Edgar Allan Poe. 7 of his most chilling tales in modern radio adaptations. I hope you'll listen during our anniversary week, starting Monday and through all of 75, to enjoy our dramas as much as we enjoy presenting them.
Although the FBI and the Honolulu police were in on the case, because of certain peculiar circumstances, it was important that the criminal be apprehended by a private investigator. This hazardous assignment went to Keith Spencer, a young man who had proved his physical courage in wartime service. But other qualifications were required for the job, as explained when Keith had his final briefing in San Francisco with the head of the Gordon Investigating Service.
Afraid we've given you a rough time these past few days.
Oh, I didn't mind, sir. Only I am anxious to get going.
You do type, don't you?
Sure.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to prove it, so let's do two things at once. Take over this typewriter, and I'll dictate some paragraphs.
Okay, shoot.
I, Keith Spencer, am unmarried, with no living relatives, and no dependents. From this day forward, and until the completion of this assignment, I have assumed the identity of Robert Keith Ryder, and under no circumstances will I reveal my true identity.
Is that all?
Yeah. If you'll sign it.
Sure, I got a pen.
Here. Oh, I suppose you should have signed a statement about your ability to play bridge.
What?
You did assure us that you play at least an average game of contract.
Well, sure, but I didn't realize it was all that important.
It could be crucial. Our three suspects are avid bridge players, when they can find a fourth.
Okay. Now, before I leave, let's go over the basic facts once more.
All right. The missing girls were cultured. A single strand, about 24 inches long.
So they'd hang down about 12 inches if someone was wearing them. They don't sound very spectacular.
Yeah, but they are. Jonathan Kohlmeyer, who bought them, was a partner in a watch company which made radium dials. And somehow he managed to have the pearls treated with radium so they would glow in the dark.
When he first thought up this scheme, did he have an ulterior motive?
Who knows? It was what happened later that we care about.
And you don't think he started out as a murderer?
Well, that's beside the point. He became one. And when he found out how easy it was, he did it again, three times.
Now, clue me in. Who did he bump off first?
The first woman he gave the pearls to was said to be very frail. When she died in an accident, Kohlmeyer was in a state of shock. So no one accused him of complicity in her death.
Yeah, but apparently he did retrieve whatever presents he'd given her.
Oh, yeah. He was that type. Then he got married. He gave the pearls to his bride, who wore them constantly. She loved that string of pearls.
How long did she last?
Radium can be a slow death. But it caught up with her after a while, and when she was dying, the doctors suspected radium poisoning.
So why didn't they nail her husband right then?
It never occurred to anyone to suspect the pearls.
How could any smart murderer pull the same stunt again?
He fell in love with a young and brainless beauty. Must have really liked her because he didn't give her the pearls for a long time. Not till he retired and they moved to Hawaii.
What did she do to deserve such a present?
Started playing around with another man. That did it. Kohlmeyer gave her the pearls. She moved out, went off with the pearls and her new boyfriend to a scarcely inhabited island, a small one, well offshore from Oahu. And when she developed an unexplained malady, the boyfriend left her.
Big-hearted guy.
Well, after her death, there was an autopsy. And this time, no question. Radium poisoning.
Now, why didn't the police move in and confiscate the pearls?
There were no pearls to be found.
Now, isn't it possible that Kohlmeyer had been there and gotten them?
No way. Kohlmeyer committed suicide without returning to the islands.
Without a confession about what he'd done.
Good Lord, no. He was a respected businessman.
Now, you think the pearls are still on the island?
We're sure of it. But more than that, Keith, we've narrowed down to three people who lived nearest the cottage where the last victim died.
So my job then is to make friends with these three people and find out quietly which one of them has the deadly pearls.
Well, you make it sound too easy. Each of these people is highly eccentric. The few people who come and go from that island are under constant surveillance.
Including me.
Naturally. The pearls were usually kept in a narrow box. It looked like an ordinary jeweler's box, but it was made of lead.
Yeah, protection against the radium, of course, means it would be heavier than most boxes that size.
Well, that makes it seem more elegant. The box is covered with purple velvet and lined with satin.
How original.
I know. It won't look much different from any jewel box you've ever seen.
Mm. I can't help thinking how useful a Geiger counter would be.
That's totally out of the question. When you bring a Geiger near a suspected object, it starts ticking.
Sure, sure, I know. No gadgets to make life easier.
Just your own ingenuity. And it better be damn good. Well, there's not much more I can say, except to wish you luck.
All
I did my homework, and the more I read about those three characters on the island, the more curious I was to meet them. The Honolulu police cleared me, and then I was completely on my own with a photograph of the cottage and a map that showed how to find it. I was given a putt-putt stocked with a supply of canned goods, stowed the typewriter and duffel bag, and at last, I was off. It was a cloudless day, and I found the beaching cove on the island without any trouble. You couldn't see the cottage from the beach, but I knew how to follow directions. Lugging my big canvas bag, I headed up a steep and winding path. And there it was, a neat, modern cottage with an enormous deck from which there must be quite a spectacular view. But I had a spectacular view myself just then, because on that deck was a dazzling blonde. Obviously sunbathing, she sprang to her feet in all her glory, and I would have been speechless, except I knew I couldn't be.
Who the hell are you?
This is the Kohlmeyer Cottage, isn't it?
What business is that of yours?
I'm the new tenant.
This place is not for rent.
That's right, not anymore. I've signed the papers. It's mine, for at least a year.
Who are you?
I'm sorry. How rude of me not to introduce myself. I'm Robert Keith, a writer in search of a quiet place to hang a typewriter.
I don't believe you. The last thing we need around here is a writer.
Lady, I am planning to live here.
Not if I can help it.
Okay. I've answered your questions. How about answering one for me? Who are you?
None of your business. Since you claim the house is yours, let's see you open the door.
That's just what I was about to do. I understand it takes two keys, and here they are, both of them.
Where'd you get those keys?
Now, do you believe me?
Big deal, you opened the door. And now I know who you are. You're a policeman. They sent you here to spy on us. Well, I'm not going to stand for it. When the supply boat comes around tomorrow, I'll send a message back to my lawyer. No penny ante flunky is going to be spying on me.
I assure you, I'm not.
Don't bother to unpack your things, Robert Keith, because tomorrow.
Really, Miss.
Mrs. Walsh. Mrs. Barbara Walsh. And you'll find that I have protection against people like you.
The gorgeously suntanned Mrs. Walsh slipped her feet into sandals, picked up her beach towel from the deck and started along the path which led from the north side of the cottage. You must understand that during our entire conversation, Barbara Walsh was completely in the bath. No bikini, nothing, except around her neck and dangling in long loops over her well-formed body. Not pearls, but necklaces made of those decorative native seeds strung together. Ropes and ropes of them.
Robert Keith may have thought he was prepared for anything, but this introduction to his new home was an unsettling experience he hadn't counted on. He has now had a most revealing look at one of the three suspects. We'll be there for his encounter with the others when we return shortly with Act Two.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom's spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
You're on the open road. Rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Nice choice, your Buick.
Inside your free.
One of our show, The Deadly Pearls, on CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Good old radium.
Yep. I remember those clocks. A lot of people had
watches.
Clocks that would glow.
Oh, radium.
They had the watches that had the on the arms there.
Yep.
Oh, I think they had it on some toys, too, to make them glow.
Mm.
Gee, that sounds so healthy. Why anybody
good toys.
Might as well lick that leaded paint on the windowsill there.
That's right. It's good for you. Yeah,
really,
I don't think I'm the
know
person
you
want to go
you.
For. I don't think I'm the person you want to go to for health tips.
Yeah. Junior, finish your spinach and those lead chips too. I put all that in there just for you.
That's right. Mm-mm. Thanks, Mom.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
yeah, no,
I hope the
there
other...
were like alarm clocks that had them too, though, the little glowy dial.
Yeah. Right. Before the good old LED lights, you know, they had to have something to light, keep them lit at night. Matter of fact, my grandfather had an old wind-up alarm clock that he used all the time. And that also could be seen in the dark, so that had to have the radium on there as well.
Good old Bob said this one is like Dick Wetsworth from Cabana Chat. Man TV, that was a great skit. Oh, that's funny. I picked up that reference. That's good. Cabana Chat. She sounded like she had about 8,000 cigarettes a day.
Yep.
Now the dance of the pool boy. They had this ridiculous pool boy. But I digress. We got to get moving, I suppose, on to more of the Deadly Pearls from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, yes. And let's hope the other residents of the islands yet to investigate are wearing clothes.
Yeah. This is dirty radio here, man. There's nudity. No one gave us a warning there'd be nudity on radio. Ugh.
Oh, my. Avert your eyes, everyone. Avert your eyes.
Yes, avert your eyes, please. Chase the kids out of the room. Here's part two of the Deadly Pearls.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
Information, right, Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York.
Robert Keith found the cottage very much to his liking. He had expected something rather dark and sinister, but one wall of the living room had a big picture window. And in the bedroom, there was a slanting skylight directly over the bed. It was certainly no place to hide. And Keith realized that whatever he did could be watched at close range, if anyone cared about what he was doing. He spent the first evening getting settled, and after a late supper of canned goods, he turned in for the night. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, he was sleeping soundly when...
What the devil? Hey, who's out there?
Well, bless my soul.
Hey, would you mind pointing that gun in another direction?
Not until I find out what you're up to.
Oh, I was sound asleep. I'm living here.
No one lives in this house. Put up your hands.
Now put down your gun, would you, sir?
Sir, I'm a man of honor. Colonel George Medicine's the name, Army retired. And no one sets foot on this island without reporting to me.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that, Colonel. And, if you'll come in, I'll show you my credentials. What the hell's that? Is there someone else out there?
No, no. Wait a minute. I'll check you out later. Right now, I recommend you go back to bed. There's a wild boar under the deck, and I aim to get him.
When the sun came up, it was another cloudless day. And after breakfast, I decided to pay a visit. Not eager to encounter either the gun-happy colonel or the wild-eyed lady with no clothes, it seemed wise to seek a formal introduction to the third island resident. The path to her property was overgrown with luxuriant shrubbery, but it opened up into an area dotted with palm trees surrounding a small stone house. Squatting in the midst of a flower bed was a gnome of a woman wearing one of those loose garments the Hawaiians call muumuus.
I wondered when you were coming.
You were expecting me?
Of course. You're the writer who's moved into the death cottage.
Moved into the what?
Well, surely the rental agent told you that the three former tenants died there.
I think you're just trying to frighten me. I don't scare easily.
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you, Mr. Keith?
Well, you know my name. Well, since we're going to be neighbors, perhaps you'll tell me...
I'm Nora Babcock. And if you'll help me up, we'll go to my porch where the coffee's perking.
I assisted Miss Babcock to her feet. The aging body was stooped and slow-moving, and her hands were badly crippled. Yet she used them capably to pour the coffee when we were seated at a wicker table on her porch.
Oh, yes, Mr. Keith. I've lived on this island for a long time. That house was just a shack when the poor man, a writer like yourself, was stabbed to death in a ghastly pool of blood. The cottage was rebuilt before an unfortunate woman was strangled there. And then it was fixed up with all that glass to let the sun in. But nothing could save the last dear lady who simply wasted away.
Well, here's hoping I'll have better luck.
That depends. When were you born, Mr. Keith?
You mean what year?
No. The date. The day. The hour.
I was born in August. 14th of August.
Oh.
You sound disappointed.
You certainly don't look like Leo. The lion. And I would have thought that a writer... but no matter. There may be other factors. You belong to the northern sign of the zodiac. The middle point of the magnet of the fire triplicity.
Is that a fact?
Oh, you'd better not laugh at me, Mr. Keith. I'll tell you right now that you and I are destined to be enemies. You belong with Sagittarius, Libra, or Aries.
Ah, come on, Miss Babcock. I'm really not so bad. Now, tell me about your sign.
I'm Gemini, the positive people of the air triplicity.
You mean air and fire don't mix?
Dangerously, Mr. Keith, very dangerously. Your sign is governed by the sun, and your gems are carnelian and sardonyx.
I wouldn't know a sardonyx if I stumbled over one.
My governing planet is Mercury. Emeralds, moonstones, and pearls are my sign. And I have a very special affinity for pearls.
Mrs. Walsh had obviously passed along word of my arrival, which was why the colonel had come trying to flush me out, and the reason Miss Babcock knew my name and occupation. So, that afternoon, I became a spy, hidden in the underbrush with binoculars trained on the three of them walking along the beach. I was darn sure they were planning some strategy to get me evicted. Then, Colonel Madison left the two ladies and headed up the trail toward my house. I went quickly to the typewriter and pretended to be busily at work.
There, Mr. Keith. I hope I'm not disturbing you. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, that it is. How are you, Colonel?
Oh, couldn't be better. Say, I'm sorry about last night. Wouldn't want you to think we're not hospitable around here. Do you mind if I sit down?
No, please do. I was beginning to feel like an outcast.
I gather you've met the ladies.
Yes, they didn't exactly give me a warm welcome.
Pay no attention. Batty old Babcock won't be a problem. She's usually off in outer space, you know, talking to the stars.
I gather she's hipped on astrology.
Oh, mad as a hatter, even though she does play a good game of bridge. You say you're also acquainted with Barbara Walsh?
If you mean, have I had a good look at her, you're darn right.
Stunning, isn't she?
You said it. Well, look, tell me, Colonel, What's a woman like that doing all by herself way out here?
But if this were a British colony, I'd say she's a remittance woman.
She's being paid to stay away?
Yeah, being paid very well. The big man in her life is a mafia type. They nabbed him. My guess is the family's afraid she'll talk unless she's kept well out of the way until he's released from jail.
What's he in for?
Oh, drug traffic, I think. I don't know. Dealing in stolen goods. Let's talk about you, Mr. Keith. You writer fellows interest me. What's your special subject?
I'm a novelist. Science fiction sometimes, but mostly light stuff.
Hmm. Know anything about pearls?
No, not much.
How'd you like to come over to the other side of the island and watch the pearl divers?
Pearl divers? Here?
Oh, well, it's not like Ceylon or the Sulu Sea, but they go through the motions here twice a week during the season. Occasionally they come up with a creditable pearl. Come along if you want to.
Well, I'd like that very much.
Fine. Oh, wear some stout walking shoes, and I'll pick you up in about an hour.
The colonel arrived in his old army uniform carrying a sturdy walking stick. We started off on a barely marked trail, and I marveled at the beauty of the place with its lush flowers and brightly colored birds.
Not that way, Mr. Keith. We take a sharp turn over here. Go up the hill.
Just a minute. This island must be more populated than I thought. I hear music.
Oh, it's just Barbara Walsh with her radio going. She has it on all day long. That or a stereo. Come along. Get ready for a steep climb.
The path went straight up, and I had to scramble to keep the colonel from getting too far ahead. But quite suddenly, all the lush greenery ended, and we came out on a rocky promontory overlooking the sea.
We made it.
That's quite a view.
Now, you see those small boats way out there?
Yeah.
Those are the oyster fishermen. They're flat-bottomed boats are dragging nets.
Uh-huh.
And from those kayak-looking things, you may be able to see the young men diving.
Won't they come closer to shore?
No, not much closer. It's too treacherous, for the tides are running as high as they are today. Go on, out on that big rock so you can get a better look.
Is it steady?
Oh, like Gibraltar. Go on, Mr. Keith, out further. Don't be afraid. Watch your step, Mr. Keith.
Hey.
Oh, merciful heaven.
Help me, Colonel.
Help.
Help me.
Hang on, Keith, hang on.
I'm trying to get a foothold.
Here. Grab my walking stick.
I grabbed the stick because I had to, even though I knew it was the same stick that had been pushed into the middle of my back just a moment before.
I'll say you're a brave man, Keith. I like the way you handled yourself back there on the rocks.
I wouldn't say I had much alternative.
It was all the fault of your shoes, Mr. Keith. That's what it was. I warned you to wear walking shoes. I say, Mr. Keith, why don't we stop by to see Barbara?
Right now?
Why not? We need a drink. And she has a good liquor supply.
Oh, I think I'd better get back and tend to these scratches. Just take a look at my clothes. I'm in no condition to go visiting.
Well, as you wish. I'll leave you then at the foot of this hill. And, yes, I've been meaning to ask you, Keith. Do you play bridge?
Well, I'm not the world's best, but yes, I play.
Oh, splendid.
I'm rather out of practice.
Well, heavens knows, so are we. Let's say my house, Friday evening. Come for supper, around 7.
Well, thank you.
Dear me, Mr. Keith, you did get scratched up. Your hands are still bleeding. Perhaps I should go with you.
I'll be all right.
Yes. Well, I'm off then to tell the ladies the good news.
Good news?
Why, yes. The good news that we found a new bridge partner. And I might as well warn you to bring our fat wallet. Our stakes are high.
After a shower and some soothing applications of witch hazel and ointments, I rested on the big bed under the skylight. The front door was wide open for the benefit of a magnificent sea breeze. But suddenly I was on the alert. Someone was on the steps leading to the deck. Then there were slow, heavy footfalls and the tap of a cane.
Mr. Keith? Mr. Keith? Are you all right?
Oh, why, hello, Miss Babcock. Yes, come in.
Oh, I heard you'd had an accident, and I thought you might not be able to fix your own supper. So I've brought you some nice oyster stew.
Oh, well, that's very thoughtful of you.
There. It's one of my specialties. Just warm it up. Oh,
thank you. Thank you very much. Sit down. Won't you share the stew with me?
No. I've had my dinner. Let me see your injuries.
Oh, they're nothing but scratches. I was lucky.
Could be serious. And you are not lucky, Mr. Keith. I looked at the stars last night, and the heavens do not bode well for anyone born under the sign of Leo.
But you see me alive and well. I could have crashed all the way down those rocks and into the sea.
Look out for more danger ahead. That was simply the first warning.
Miss Babcock knew what she was talking about, and it had nothing to do with the stars. I heated the oyster stew, and it was delicious. In fact, the best I've ever tasted. But about an hour later, I began to feel drained of all energy. I thought it was just a reaction from a rather strenuous day and decided the best thing to do was go to bed and sleep it off. It was a tremendous effort to get undressed, but I managed to drag myself, partially clothed, onto the big bed. In a prone position, I felt as though I were being suffocated and panic was setting in. I'd been poisoned, and no one was going to save my life this time unless I did it for myself. Literally, I crawled into the bathroom for the well-stocked medicine kit. Yes, I was prepared with antidotes for poison, but time was too short to figure out which one would be appropriate. By now, my hands and feet were growing numb, and breathing was getting more and more difficult. I mixed up a heavy pink liquid in a glass of water, and just before blacking out, I was very, very sick. When I came to, I was lying on the bathroom floor, weak, but grateful to find I was still alive. Very slowly, I got to my feet and staggered toward the bedroom, hoping at last to sleep off the effects of whatever had been in that poisonous stew. But my whole body sagged, and I knew I'd never make the bed, so I eased myself down on a narrow couch in the living room and fell instantly into a heavy slumber. Once again, it must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning, when there was a sound which would have awakened the dead. The skylight in the bedroom, back flat against the wall. I waited for minutes that seemed like an eternity. No movement. Absolute silence. So I crept into the next room, armed with a flashlight, and cupping the beam, examined the bed. It was a mass of shattered glass. In the darkness once more, I moved stealthily to the front door, opened it without a sound, and stared into total blackness. Slowly, I raised the flashlight and then snapped it on full beam. Pointing straight down the path, facing directly toward me, stood the statuesque Mrs. Barbara Walsh, fully clothed in a long, dark kimono. And over her breasts hung a necklace of gems which burst into life like 4th of July sparklers.
I must warn you not to jump to conclusions. If you imagine that Mrs. Walsh was wearing the stolen pearls, think again. Diamonds are the jewels that glitter when exposed to light. A pearl is sometimes a gem of great value, but it is not a precious stone. And one can scarcely say that pearls sparkle, while radium, remember the dial on your watch
or bedside clock, radium glows in the dark. We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway. If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Naturally carbonated. Which means Bud brews its own bubbles. Tiny ones over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way. The right way. Naturally. But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I definitely want to apologize for tonight's show. Not the Nakey people, the idea of putting ice in beer. That is just irreprehensible. I cannot believe
that.
I let it skip by the censors. I apologize. My fault. My fault. Oh, well.
So there's no such cocktail as butt on the rocks?
No.
Yeah, well, So several things on the rocks are good, but not
beer.
Beer, no.
Not beer. No. Oh, that's obscene.
Oh. So not even the new age sorts of beer. You know, pumpkin beer on the rocks.
There's a pumpkin beer on the rocks? Okay.
There's a pumpkin beer. The fact that there is a pumpkin beer I find shocking and disturbing at the same time. They have all kinds of weird beers.
They do.
Multi-flavored. Okay. Yeah.
With all these microbreweries.
Yep. Those that are still in business. Hey.
Apple's water beer.
Real men of genius. There you go, Dale. Real men of genius.
Yeah. Oh, hey, it's time for one of those. Perhaps I will have time to upload one.
Oh yes, do.
Yeah, I haven't done one in a while. Those are the best commercials ever. Best commercials ever.
Real men of genius.
So we talked a bit about pearls yesterday. CW as a female. We didn't get the feminine side of pearls and things like that. Now, I've never given any as gifts because I'm cheap. have you ever received anything like earrings, necklace, bracelet, anything like that? Do you had any pearls in your life?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. Not the super duper crazy psycho expensive, and I've never received any as gifts, being such an independent individual such as I can buy my own stuff, thank you very much.
Fair enough.
But, I do have was going on an oriental theme thing once, so I purchased, I saw it right there, a dragon. A silver tone dragon ring, and dragons are known for hoarding their treasure.
How cool!
And in its talons, it has a pearl, and that's a ring I own.
Wow!
Did I phase out? Yeah.
No. We got that.
Oh, okay. And definitely
Dale
silent phase, there.
Dale phased out. Maybe Dale phased out.
I'm here.
I don't know.
Okay.
I had a real pearl once.
I'm not all here.
I mean, they
but
put
I'm
real
here.
Pearls in cracker. They put real pearls in cracker jack boxes, right?
Absolutely.
No.
So what's the third thought?
Oh.
Well, no, it's not cracker jack. It's Bazooka Joe. You got to save up the comics, and you can get a real pearl.
Oh, okay.
And I have to give out props to.
Mater and Pater, mom and dad, they did invest a lot in the pearly whites I possess. So, thanks, because I still have all my chops.
There you go.
They're useful for that eating thing that we're required to do to survive.
I've heard that. Yep, I think it's a rumor, but hey, what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're not scientists, folks. But we have played them on TV.
We aren't?
No.
We aren't?
Wow.
No.
I thought we were.
No, and again, Dale is the last person. And always remember, Dale's the last person to give health advice.
I guess. Does that mean I have to stop having everyone address me as doctor and stuff? Oh, darn.
Oh, well. Hey, let's wrap up our CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Who knows what we'll have time for by the end of the night?
Yeah.
But the suspense is building, and I want to see how this bad boy ends. So here we go with part three, The Deadly Pearls.
Who tries to kill him next? Yeah.
Yeah, really? Everybody's after this guy. The Deadly Pearls, CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Mercifully for Robert Keith, the next two nights and 3 days were totally uneventful. He dozed in the sun, occasionally pecked at the typewriter, and did a great deal of thinking. Keith looked forward eagerly to the evening of bridge, and as he approached the colonel's house for the first time, he found a charming, sprawling building with a table set out of doors on what the Hawaiians call a lanai. He was glad he had purchased a colorful sport shirt in Honolulu, although it paled beside the one Colonel Madison was wearing over his white slacks. Even Miss Babcock looked festive in her flowered muumuu.
Hi.
Ah, welcome, my boy, welcome.
You're looking much better, Mr. Keith.
Yeah, quite recovered, thank you. This island air will cure anything.
Anything but my arthritis. Where's Barbara?
Oh, always late. I suspect she's getting herself decked out, ready for the kill.
Oh, you expressed things so aptly, Colonel. If it's like old times, Barbara will come prepared for murder at the bridge table. Oh, and speaking...
Hello, everybody.
Oh, Barbara. Well, you've outdone yourself. Hey, dazzling. Simply dazzling.
Oh, Colonel. And Nora, dear.
I believe you've met Mr. Keith.
My lawyer has verified that he exists.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Mr. Keith, you may have the right to live on this island, but that doesn't mean that I have to love my neighbor.
No, Barbara.
However, since we have so little opportunity for social occasions, I propose we declare an armed truce.
But I'm not at war with you, Mrs. Walsh.
Speak for yourself. Peace for the evening.
Dinner began with oysters on the half shell. 6 enormous oysters for each of us.
And I shall be interested in your opinion of these, Keith. Delivered by my favorite fisherman, fresh from the beds this morning.
Colonel, look. My horoscope said this would be a lucky day.
Well, bless my soul.
Oh, Nora has nothing on me. I found one, too. But I suspect you, Colonel. Come on, confess.
All right, I confess. Party favors. There's a pearl in every oyster shell.
You rogue. I must say this is rather a good one. Nice sheen.
Oh, I love them. Every one, they feel so good.
I thought the surprise was just for the ladies, but I see you've included me. Very pretty, Colonel.
Well, let that be the beginning of your collection. I hope you won't mind if some of them are already pierced.
You mean a pearl like this one has been removed from a string?
Yes, that's right. Part of my hobby. I seldom find a string that meets my standards for matching, so I rematch them and mix them. But come, let's finish our dinner so we can get on to the battle.
Afraid I'll have to pass.
I say 3 no trump.
Well, 4 hearts.
5 no trump.
Barbara, do you have a ring on every finger?
Only on eight.
Oh, I wish I could wear them. Look, my poor crippled hand.
Oh, shut up, Nora. You're just trying to distract me. I have a contract to make.
It was a cutthroat game, no question about it. Only, strangely, we were quite evenly matched. We played three rubbers, so I had my chance with each one as a partner. By this time, we were on a first-name basis.
Well, that's it. And as usual, top honors go to the ladies. In points, let's see. Barbara's first, then Nora, followed by Bob, and as is proper for a gracious host, I'm last. It'll take a minute to figure out who owes what here.
I think the prize should go to Robert and me for that last small slam. I wouldn't have dreamed that Leo and Gemini could work so well together. Tell me, Mr. I mean Robert. Never Bob. Isn't there some way you could find out the hour of your birth?
What rubbish.
Well, if it would please you, Miss Nora, I suppose I could write and ask my mother.
Well, you do that. It's very important.
Oh, Nora.
Speaking of my mother, you've all given me a very good idea. I'd like to send her a present.
A present for your mother?
You'll think I'm sentimental, but many years ago, my dad gave her a string of pearls as an anniversary present, and well, they were her greatest treasure. Dad's been dead a long time now, and she was heartbroken when the pearls were stolen from her New York apartment.
Oh, well, say no more. I'll fix you up. How much do you want to pay?
All right, now, just a minute, Colonel. I'm afraid you deal in merchandise that's too rich for my blood. I'm talking about a simple string of cultured pearls.
Couple of $100?
Now you're on the right track.
Ridiculous.
Excuse me, everybody, but I'm very tired. Time to go home.
Well, I'll be happy to escort the ladies.
Don't bother with me. Perhaps you're not aware that I spend most of every night wandering around the island alone.
Oh, go with them, Barbara. You'll have to help me with the dishes.
Oh, that does it.
Walking with Nora Babcock was a tortuous business, and I had a feeling she was in pain every step of the way. And we lost sight of Barbara, although she had an unsettling trick of appearing on the path, sometimes in front of us, sometimes behind. And when we reached the door of Nora's house...
She's out there somewhere, and I don't want her to hear. If you come to my house tomorrow afternoon, I'd like to talk to you about those pearls for your mother.
Fine. What time?
Around 2:00.
Okay, be seeing you. Good night.
And now you may have the pleasure of seeing me home.
Oh, yeah, this is a pleasure and a surprise.
You want to know what I have against you, don't you?
I am curious.
Well, come to my house for a nightcap and I'll tell you. What do you think of my pad?
Exotic luxury.
You writers have a way with words. But you don't fit the pattern.
And what pattern is that?
Oh, novelist, I despise
it. Oh, come on. We're no different from anyone else.
My husband was a woman-hater who wrote about women and knew nothing about them. Oh, that man crucified me in his books. Well, I know, you're different. I could tell from the way you talked about your mother... Come over here. Sit on the couch. That's better. Hold my hand. You know, it's been frightfully dull around here.
Pretty hands. But don't your fingers get tired under all those rocks?
Take the rings off. It'll make you feel any more comfortable.
Let's see. Rubies? Diamonds? Sapphires? Suppose you'd never stoop to wearing something as simple as a pearl.
On the contrary. My most prized possession. I own a string of priceless pearls. Over there in that velvet box.
May I see them?
I don't put them on display for just anybody. if you're a good boy, I'll show them to you. Here, let me freshen your drink.
You have some fascinating things in this room. That Buddha, for instance.
It's carved from jade.
And, are these the pearls?
Put down that box.
Oh, you said you'd show them to me.
It's locked and I have to get the key. Oh, yes, Bob. I said I'd show you the pearls. If you're a good boy. And I will. Tomorrow morning. After you spend the night.
When I was having breakfast next morning in the sunshine on my deck, yes, I was alone. I had not spent the night with Barbara Walsh. In my line of work, it has to be business before pleasure. There was no need to accept a bribe. You see, when I picked up that purple velvet jewel box, it was light as a feather. But, as I was saying, while eating breakfast...
Good morning. You're a late riser.
Yeah, I went to a big party last night, Colonel. Come on, have a cup of coffee.
I brought you something. Don't pay any attention to the looks of the box. The velvet's worn. It's been around for a while. It's what's inside that counts. I'd be glad to sell you the pearls. Open the box.
Oh, they're beautiful. But these are not the ones we were talking about last night. I mean, this is a double strand. Obviously far more expensive.
I know. They can be sold for several thousand dollars someday. But my price to you still stands.
Oh, no, Colonel. I just can't accept it.
My good man, I'm offering you the kind of bargain that comes once in a lifetime.
But it'll never do for my mother. Don't you have something else?
Yes, of course I do. I thought I owed you a favor.
Oh, you owe me nothing. Now, please, Colonel, if you'll let me go to your house, perhaps you could show me another string that would be...
I'll show you nothing right now. Good morning, sir.
The Colonel stomped off, and I knew I would have to change my approach if I wanted to look at his collection. I'll think about that later, because my next appointment was with Nora Babcock.
Come in, Robert. Didn't we have a good time last night?
You can be my bridge partner anytime.
That's very sweet. I meant to ask you, how did you like my oyster stew?
Oh, the taste was superb, but...
Didn't it help you to go to sleep?
Look, I'll level with you, Miss B. You put something in that stew, didn't you?
Oh, the usual dash of chili sauce and plenty of rich cream.
No, I mean something bad.
I don't understand.
That stew made me deathly ill.
Why, I wanted you to sleep well after your accident, so I did put in a drop or two of my sedatives. The kind that helps me. From one of those bottles. Perhaps it shouldn't have been combined with the seafood.
Yeah, perhaps. I thought you were trying to poison me.
How could you have such thoughts about a poor old lady?
I take them all back.
When is your mother's birthday?
It's in June. Like yours.
Oh, I knew it. My pearls were a present, and nothing would please me more than giving them to a Gemini.
Oh, that's very generous of you, but
oh, please, get the pearls for me, Robert. On that cabinet over there.
Okay.
You'll find the box is rather heavy.
You say these pearls were given to you?
Yes. Yes. By the dear lady who lived in your cottage. I took care of her, poor thing. And before she died, she gave me her dearest treasure. Open the box and tell me what you think.
I think they're perfect.
Oh, you don't know the best part. These pearls have a magical quality. Just wait until you see what happens to them at night.
Uh-huh.
Pick them up, examine them.
I like the way they look against the satin.
Oh, how I love them.
Nora... Just when do you wear these pearls?
Oh, they're not for wearing. At least not for me. I like to fondle them. And before my hands got so bad, I used them the way the Greeks do. You know, worry beads. I've often taken them to bed with me.
Nora, these hands of yours...
Oh, it's not my hands. You... See how hard it is for me to get around.
Yes, I know. Have you been to a doctor?
No use. I have my medicines. Though they don't do much good.
I know a fine doctor in Honolulu. I think he can help you. Will you let me take you to him?
Oh, I couldn't let you do that, Robert. It's not in the stars. How many times have I told you? I've been warned never to trust a Leo.
Look, Nora, for reasons I won't trouble you with, and that, of course, I wouldn't want the Colonel or Barbara to know, I'm not the person I've pretended to be. Would it make any difference to you if I told you I was actually born on January the 2nd?
Why, all the difference in the world. I should have known. We were destined to be friends from the very beginning, Mr. Keith.
Yes. Just Keith. That's my real first name.
I'll go with you wherever you want me to go.
Case closed. Miss Babcock's destiny was not written in the stars, even though she went to her grave believing it was. The deadly pearls were taken out of circulation, and Nora Babcock was given the best of care in a hospital where they did what they could to ease the pain during the short time she had left to live. It was thought best not to shatter her dream, so she never knew that Keith Spencer was an orphan, or that her treasured pearls had been anything but a comfort. I'll be back shortly.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life and be free and see. Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I finished the school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead.
About the new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Keith Spencer found a good deal more on that island than the missing pearls. He stepped into the lives of three people whose philosophies did not agree with his, yet with each, he had at least one point of mutual understanding. Our mystery was solved with the apprehension of a victim rather than a culprit. Our cast included Kate Reed, Paul Hecht, Grace Matthews, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I'll tell you why I called you, Sam. Your favorite parolee, Steve Janos, was just in. Yeah. I know what a big football fan you are. Me, it's the Polish. What's on my mind? I don't know. The Cleveland police just sent me down a picture of that wife of his. Huh? She's not marked up in what I'm looking at. Sensational-looking doll. Too good to just pass up. What I want to know is, how are you coming on that trace you've had out on her? Yeah. Well, the moment anything turns up, you get on the pipe. Even tonight, I'll be here late. I wouldn't want to know that your boy and this girl were in the same town. That could be begging for trouble.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
I can almost hear
Bud Light that. Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
This 4th of July, we salute you, Mr. Backyard Bug Zapper Inventor.
Mr. Backyard Bug Zapper Inventor.
Not content to harmlessly repel insects with lotion, you discovered a way to fry them with electricity until their bodies explode.
Kaboom.
Ah, the sounds of summer. Crickets chirping, birds singing, the blood-curdling scream of a moth having 700 volts of electricity shoot through its body.
Music to my ears.
Every night, a magical explosion of exoskeleton and insect goo that can only mean one thing. Summer's here. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. June Bug Blaster, then sit back and watch the fireworks.
Mr. Backyard Bug Zapper Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Cartersville, Georgia.
Oh, good heavens.
I remember a Vincent commercial where he was having fun around a Bug Zapper at the end. I think it was for Citibank or something like that. But his wife was in it and he was in it. And she was talking throughout. And at the end, he was over there by the Bug Zapper. And every time it would zap, he would laugh. You know, it was cool. Good old Vincent Price.
Yep. Do we have a pearl of wisdom for this one?
We just might have one.
Erie House Radio proudly presents the fourth and final Pearl of Wisdom.
It's apologies to Gar. A gift of a priceless pearl is not does have a price if that price is death.
Ooh. Take me aside to Jack's food.
It's the only thing I can think
me too.
Of. Yeah.
Me too.
That was kind of dark.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you think of that maudlin ending there?
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
A black pearl of wisdom. There you are. Black pearls, which are even more highly coveted than the white pearls.
Yes, they are.
You know, and I...
They are rarer.
When we got into the shows yesterday, I even thought about a Rocky Fortune where I think in one of the first episodes, he's actually an oyster shucker. That's his job for that episode.
I don't think I've ever seen a black pearl. I've seen the pinkish type and, of course, the predominantly white type, but I've never seen a black pearl.
I actually have seen one. I saw it in a jewelry store once in the mall. They're very pretty. They have sort of a slight silverish sheen to them, but they are black. They do come naturally. Of course, you can probably culture the dickens out of that poor oyster, but they do occur in nature, and that's why they were so heavily prized.
Angel has one in the ring, Dale.
Yeah, I see that in the chat. Thank you for just give us your address and you won't for long. No, I'm kidding. That's awful. Oh, that's awful. No, they're pretty in rings, too. Earrings, rings, bracelets, and necklaces.
Oh, and wanted to say hello to, I guess, is it Hadash, 1965, in the chat?
Yes, welcome, Hadassah, 1965. Welcome. Hope you're enjoying
the
show. And we got some time left, so that means time for some bonus goodies.
Woohoo!
Yes. All right.
Who shall spin our wheel tonight?
Well, CW has been gone a couple of weeks, so I think she needs to spin it.
Me. Here I come. Down the hallway, around the corner, up the stairs, through the attic, over the roof.
She's fast.
Off the tree. And here I am, and here to win.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Can you tell me how to get to Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium?
Why, yes.
It's just a half a block down the street to your left. What do you want to see Ripley about?
My hair's got the whitest part in the world. Goodbye.
He's right, folks. His head looks like the Boston Post rolled with ears. Sing, Danny.
Mary, look what you did. You dropped. Look what you dropped on my new Chinese rock. Look what you did with your duchess to drop down.
Well, it's Papa. Well, it's Jack Suey, so don't worry.
No worries, he says. I'll never get that out.
Well, look who's here.
Hiya, Jackson. Mary.
Are you shopping around too, Phil?
Nah, I'm just waiting for Alice. She's up there in the beauty saloon having her hair done.
He's only got one line on the program, can't get it right. In the first place, that's salon, not saloon.
But, Don, what could be better for Christmas, for a Christmas gift, than a carton of Lucky Strike cigarettes?
Two cartons, one for each stocking.
Oh, gee. Oh, boy. For a minute, I thought I was going to...
Jack, stop looking at your Social Security. Security.
You know, it wouldn't hurt if we rehearsed this program.
Phil, go ahead and play a number, will you?
Okay.
Okay, come on.
Hey, buddy, on second thought, I don't think we want to look at the battleship today.
I came here to visit a battleship, and I want to be one.
Here we are, Jack, right up alongside us.
You want to be a battleship? Okay, watch your step getting out.
And now, in answer to many requests that we might get, here is, or here are, the Elm City Four. Here is, here are. Here is the Elm City Four singing Under the Bamboo Tree.
Me like I like you, and we like them both the same. I like to say this very day, I like to change your name. 'Cause I love you and love you too, and if you love me, one lives two lives with one, under the bamboo tree. Down in the jungle lived a maid, of royal blood though dusky shade. A marked impression once she made upon a Zulu from Matabulu, and every morning he would be down underneath a bamboo tree, awaiting there his love to see. And then to her he'd sing, if you like me like I like you, and we like both the same. I like to say this every day, I like to change your name. 'Cause I love you and love you too, and if you will love me, one lives two lives one, under the bamboo tree. If you like me like I like you, and we like both the same. I like to say this every day, I like to change your name. 'Cause I love you and love you too, and if you will love me, one lives two lives one, under the bamboo tree.
A fun little ditty, and before that, we had the first of a series Dave's bringing us of Benny bloopers.
Yeah, we've got 14 of them, and they all run usually between 3 and 3.5 minutes apiece. So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, more fun stuff
coming
up. Want
to be a battleship, yeah. Battle. Want to be a battleship, yeah.
And it looks like Gar had to bail as he prepares to run a show in about 10 minutes, right when we're done here.
Yeah. And
I mean,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say.
Go ahead, CW.
I may have to go to the beauty saloon to get my hair done.
A beauty saloon is where you go to get so drunk that everybody looks good. There you go. At 2 a.m., there are no ugly people.
Yeah, that's right. At 2 a.m., there's no ugly people at 2 a.m. That's right.
And people actually will then not care if there's ice in their beer.
Oh, I hope they still care about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a, come on now, let's not push the limits.
I did get paid this week, so I do have a wooden quarter for the jukebox.
A wooden quarter, huh?
Quarter?
Yeah.
Oh, inflation.
When did they
inflation.
Jack the price
inflation.
Up? It used to be a wooden nickel.
Yeah, well, when you raised the price to a quarter on the jukebox, I had to go out and make some wooden quarters. So
inflation. There we go.
Inflation.
Whatever. Here we go. Go ahead and pop that coin into the machine.
All right, here it goes.
Alabama found, there'll be no heebie-jeebies hanging around. Just gave the meanest ticket man on earth all that I'm worth to put my tootsies in an upper berth. Just hear that choo-choo sound, I know that soon we're gonna be covering ground. And then I'll holler so the world will know, here I go, I'm Alabama bound. Birdies are singing, every old thing's in tune. Goodbye, blue. Nothing but laughter, morning and afternoon. I saw a rosebud in a stove, so I'm going where there's more. Goodbye, blue. Troubles are over, I'll be in clover soon. I'm Alabama bound. There'll be no heebie-jeebies hanging around. Just gave the meanest ticket man on earth every cent that I'm worth to put my tootsies in an upper berth. Just hear the choo-choo sound, I know that soon we're gonna be covering ground. And then I'll holler so the world will know, here I go, I'm Alabama bound.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
For you, the daily commute isn't simply a drive to the office. It's a hands-on exploration deep into your schnoz.
I'm going in now.
With pinpoint accuracy and sheer determination, you dig for boogers like miners dig for gold.
Hit the jackpot.
And why do you do it? Because the windows are up and you think we can't see you. We can.
How you doing?
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh napper of the nose nugget. We'd like to shake your hand, but you'll have to wash it first.
Mr. Inner-Con-Nose-Taker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, good heavens.
Oh, gosh. Does anyone have any hand sanitizer?
Oh, yes.
I tell you what, I feel like I have to wash my hands after hearing that.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Anyone have a jug of bleach handy?
Yes. Yeah, we'll clean things up around here, too, because we're going back to science fiction. We're going to see space creatures all weekend long next weekend.
Oh, wait, Dale, I got to help you out here.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
Ooh, I like it. Sends that cosmic chill right up and down your spine as we return with SF68 Theater 5. So some modern stuff there, along with an X-1. I like that title, Drop Dead. Next Saturday, it's Murder at Midnight and more X-1.
Yep. Yes. I tried to look for another because sometimes Dimension X also, they did Dimension X stories, and sometimes there was another group out of Kalamazoo that did a bunch of the X-1s. But nobody else did it, so we got two X-1s next weekend.
Back to sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
Oh, there's
a UFO. And in 2 weeks from tonight, our special guest, Mark Dowidziak, will be back with a special salute to Rod Serling. That we've been looking for.
Salute.
And in that, we will be including a one-half-hour program. It is a 1954 radio play that Rod Serling wrote and produced in right here in Cincinnati, Ohio.
See you next Friday at 6:30. After this, go ahead and jump on over to the Twitches and check out Horrible Horror starring Gary the Gold.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Close enough. Close enough. We missed the ending there, but not too bad for the live audience.
Not too bad. Yep.
I like that show.
Yeah. You know, Angel had a problem figuring out. It did have a rather abrupt ending. And the pearls were never stolen. They were just given to the lady, and they actually ended up killing her. So,
yes. A maudlin ending.
Yeah, that was kind of indeed.
That's
hey,
why
Dale, what did you think of that title? Yeah, title coming up of that. SF68.
I like it.
The title there.
Space cow.
Space cow.
Space cow.
And the crew of the Utter Prize. Ooh.
Utter.
The Utter Prize. Yep.
As they travel through the Milky Way.
We. to explore strange mooniverses is to seek out moo life and moo civilizations.
Yes. The captain went graduating from the mooniversity.
Where no moo has gone before.
Space. Here, hit the sound effect. Space cow. Space cow. Oh my God, I gotta get one of those.
Steady as they go, Mr.
I gotta get me one of those. Whatever that is.
It's like a sound bite. It's, yeah, I got it from the Walgreens before they closed down. Like, God, it was an after Christmas special. Got fun things like.
Man.
Did they make that sound with that pheromone thing?
Oh, good heavens.
And of course, the famous. Yep.
Oh. Feel better? That's Space Cow to the rescue.
Fun little thing.
I used to watch it on the way to... I used to park at the casino because when you're over 55, you can park at the casino for free when I worked downtown to avoid parking fees, right? There was a Space Cow game that I used to stand and watch for a while because it was like, this is too weird. The cartoon Space Cow.
Cartoon Space Cow.
Cartoon Space Cow game.
See, they didn't have a real one because real one's on the radio.
You mean there really was a cartoon called Space Cow? I thought you guys were just making that up.
No, I think they made it up for for the casino, but it was a cartoonish looking thing. You know what I mean? They make the things like their video games, I guess. So,
guess if they're going to take your money, they might as well entertain you, right?
Yeah, might as well make it fun.
Yeah.
Have a space cow.
Yep. And they take all the clocks off the walls.
Oh, I love that sound. That and a good theremin. Always good for the science fiction soul. We got a voodoo show coming up. Oh, man. Good stuff. And, dolls. Dolls are always creepy.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
talking to Tina, and I'm going to kill you.
Yes.
I even had to make a talkie Tina. I don't know. I think you've seen a few of them, CW. Every Monday or so, I post these little – I take pictures and put, like, Eerie House – titles on them, like just classic horror pictures.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I got.
Oh, yeah.
I got like 80 of them. How many do I have now? Wait a second.
Do you have one of that Anthony Hopkins movie Magic, where he?
Yeah, I think.
Ventriloquist.
I do. I might. Let me see. Wait a minute. Where did I put it? It's in there. In promo pics. I don't think so. Lately, I've been on a Lon Chaney kick. I got one as a real sad clown, like, please listen, I'm so pathetic. And then a creepy one of him, like, beckoning in. Like, come on, give us a listen.
I often wonder for that clown thing that Lon Chaney did he get that from the... He must have gotten the idea from the opera, Paiacci, because that was... an old opera, even when he started.
I would not be a bit surprised if it did not inspire the story. It's from He Who Gets Slapped. And it was like a vaudevillian clown thing where he was the clown who got slapped. And they would slap him down pretty hard. And it was like a heartbreak story.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was out of vaudeville because I was thinking more of the opera of the sad clown.
Yeah, no. I'm saying the presentation in the movie was sort of vaudevillian in that his whole shtick was he was the clown who got slapped.
Got it.
Yeah. And which, you know, is tragic, much like Pagliacci.
That's what I'm thinking vaudeville got it from. They got it from the opera, and the opera
probably
took it to vaudeville, and vaudeville went to the silent movies.
I don't think I have one with the magic guy. I don't think I made one yet. I might have made an ad. Teenage Frankenstein and the bug-eyed guy from the Mutants, Outer Limits. What's his name? Warren Oates with the fried eggs on his eyes.
Mm-hmm. And what about, I don't know, can you do Chucky?
I haven't done any of the modern horror yet. I don't, not like super modern. Like, I've done a few Harryhausen. I even got a Metropolis one coming up. I even found Metropolis font for it. Yeah. Ultima Futura sitting in the chair with the beams of light going around her. The robot from Metropolis. Yeah. That was 40 Ackerman's favorite of all the thousands of pieces and books and movie memorabilia that he had. He had the Ultima Futura from Metropolis, and that was his favorite thing. I think it was one of the few things he never wound up selling, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember that he was quite entranced with that movie.
Yeah.
But it is an excellent film. It's one of the few silent films I really enjoy.
He was such a treasure because he had memories of going to the theater to see it. You know, silent films. He got to witness as a very young boy the switch from sound to talkies. Having seen the original Lost World, and then later, just a few years later, seeing King Kong at the theater. And being from that area, he was later, as a teen, he was able to meet people who made films and started collecting.
Wow. It's sort of like today. There was dial-up, then there was cable, then you had satellite dish, then you have Wi-Fi.
Yep. Yeah, I'll have to start doing more modern monsters, I guess, with some of those.
The,
I know, the classic ones are still pretty good. I got a kick out of those.
What about that voodoo doll from, was it Black Sunday or, no.
The Trilogy of Terror voodoo doll?
Yeah, that's the one, thank you.
Going after Karen Black. She was great in that whole series in Trilogy of Terror.
Yeah.
She played two parts in one of the episodes. Or was it two parts?
Yes.
And then the classic one with the voodoo doll. And then one, she was like this teacher who, at first it looks like she's a victim. But
surprise, surprise.
Yes.
And with that being said, gentlemen, I really must be away. And with your kind permission, I'll go to the door that has the star on it, to the one and only, the Schnozola himself. Knock, knock, knock.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Are we up? We the same, and
we
can think of you.
Good
night.
tonight, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.